line. Neves, he's seen Jimenez. Away from Chilwell, and Scott has won it! 30 seconds from time! A match-winning hat-trick from Diogo Jota! And Claude Puel leaves the ground to eat him up!
Welcome to EPL 1300.
Mane! Salah's up there with him on a hat-trick. It's Mane!
Lexington's only show covering the English Premier League.
And Judo could be the last chance. In goes the cross. Here's a chance, and there's the winning goal. Harry Winks for Tottenham. Inside the final 10 seconds of added time. Delight for the travelling Tottenham fans. Desperate disappointment for Fulham. Fulham 1, Tottenham 2, a shake of the head by Claudio Ranieri, and the points will be going back to North London.
Now here's the host of EPL 1300, Lauro, Kali, and Mickey.
Man, did that make me happy all over again. I jumped off my couch.
Stood up slowly.
When Harry scored. Not Harry Kane. No. Welcome to EPL 1300. Hi, Colly.
How's it going, Laro?
Mickey.
What a bunch of great matches last weekend.
Correct. They were.
Wolves
but
and
none
Leicester,
better.
Tottenham and Fulham.
None better than that one.
Yeah, there was.
No, there were.
The Wolves Leicester game was much better.
Yeah, it was all right.
And the Liverpool Crystal Palace game was a belter as well.
Oh, what?
Belter.
Yeah, they were all right. But none as good as Harry Winks. I got a text, by the way, Colly, right after I texted Sean something. Oh, I think maybe you too. About the goal. And
yeah.
He said at least we still have Harry or something.
Hey, like Harry.
That. Yeah. Harry Winks scores final 10 seconds of the match to get 3 very much needed points for Tottenham Hotspur. Because apparently the entire roster is now injured and they're playing with schoolboys.
The amount of times you mention Harry, I'm surprised you're not at the airport chanting. Do you know that?
What would I be chanting
just down here
for?
At Bluegrass Airport?
Harry Krishna.
Harry.
How did you not get that one? Come on.
I'm sorry. Right over my head. Sorry.
There were some fantastic games. That was a good game. And last minute winner, fantastic. But what the biggest game in terms of league positions and the top five and all was obviously Arsenal beating Chelsea 2-0. Yeah. Chelsea didn't look at the races at all. Sarri, the manager there, very disappointed. Arsenal ecstatic to get that win because they were on a downward spiral, but they hadn't been getting the results.
Yeah,
that they needed. And then Liverpool, this is
Before you move on, you just mentioned Sarri.
Yeah.
His press conference was, they all went nuts because he was so angry. He said, I'm going to speak in Italian because I don't want to make a mistake in English. And then they had a translator translate what he said from Italian to English because he was so angry.
And was it safe?
Yes, it was. He didn't curse or anything, he just was trying to explain to his team how he felt, and he didn't think he could do it properly in English.
I thought it was because he didn't know how to curse in English.
Oh, I'll bet he does.
All the good all the best curse words are Italian.
Yeah, no, it sounds a lot better in Italian.
Oh, absolutely it does. Yeah, anyway, Liverpool,
they win 4-3 at home to Crystal Palace. We always say Crystal Palace give them a good game because they like to free flowing, etc. There's 2 goals in the last minute, so Crystal Palace scored their 3rd goal after Liverpool had scored their 4th. So it didn't. But Milner got sent off as well for Liverpool, and Salah got two for Liverpool. But, you know, I just feel it's the mark of champions when they keep on going till the last minute and scoring goals throughout the game. I thought it was a great, great win for Liverpool. But Klopp has to be worried that someone like Crystal Palace can go to Liverpool and score three goals.
Yeah.
And there's something else about that game that's very interesting. Do you know what it is? A bit of trivia?
It's his 50. It's Salah's 50th Premier League goal.
No, not Salah. I don't care about Salah.
One of the most boring guys in English Premier League got a red card.
James Milner?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the interesting trivial tidbit.
Okay.
Do you know who was the referee in that match who sent James Milner off?
He was his coach from school. His underage school
that's
coach.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty cool. Come on.
That is good. That is good.
All right.
I think Mickey talked about it there as well. The Wolves-Leicester game was fantastic.
It was great. It was the early game Saturday.
Yeah,
it was a humdinger.
It was a real humdinger.
Boy, you got all kinds of words going today.
Yeah, I went down to the last 30 seconds of added time before Wolves went ahead with a hat trick.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really good.
You know, Wolves are one of the hundreds of teams I support. I don't know if you know that.
I know you support hundreds of teams. Yeah, okay. One of your other teams didn't do so well against Manchester City. Huddersfield lost 3-0.
Yeah.
But I suppose you don't support them anymore because they're going to get relegated. That's just the kind of guy you are.
I'll support them in the championship.
You're a winner picker. You're a winner picker. No, Huddersfield looked like they're, and don't forget that they lost David Wagner last week, their manager, who resigned by mutual consent, which means he was sacked, basically.
Yeah, of course.
the guy who got them from division or the championship into the Premier League, kept them there for a year, and had minimal money to spend, so he's unfortunately...
He's gone. Well, but so he's a. I don't know very much about him other than
like Klopp.
Other than what you just said. So I mean, this is a guy that should be managing in the EPL.
He's, I'm pretty sure he's German. He could manage in a number of different places.
Yeah.
He'll get another run.
Right.
He plays very open football the way I suppose it should be played.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't set up the bus like Sam Allardyce or something like that.
Hey, easy on Big Sam.
I know. Sorry, Sam. I take it back. So, you know, they're playing City. They're going to lose.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what you say, I feel like they're always going to lose there. Sterling scored his 12th of the season, which is a really good return for a winger. Like, he's not an out-and-out striker.
Right.
He's on the wing. I think that's a good result for him.
He's terrific.
Yeah. So City have now scored 19 goals in their past three games, and actually including their game yesterday, it's 20-4, but do you know who they played yesterday? In the Carabao or...
The Carabao Cup.
Yeah, the team that they previously beaten 9-0, they beat 1-0. So I put that down to... I give Burton a win for that.
Yeah.
So I was going to look at
way
it.
Way to go. This is my new team.
They still lost 1-0, but yeah.
You lose 9-0 and then you come back and it's 1-0?
Yeah.
Bravo.
They didn't win the second half, but they didn't get humiliated. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Good, very good. The manager for that team is a guy named named Nigel Clough, and he played at Notts Forest. And his dad was the manager called Brian Clough. And I don't know if you ever heard about Brian Clough, but he brought Nottingham Forest and they won the European Cup with Martin O'Neill and all in 1988 and stuff. But there was a... The best thing about Brian Clough, he was famous. He won the best managers you're ever going to get. Real old school. He had a big red whiskey nose in him because he liked to tipple. Like, he was always going around drinking and swearing and telling people off. Like Roy Keane started...
Our guy!
Roy Keane started off with him in Nottingham Forest. He brought him over from Ireland. And he used to clip guys around the back of the head and stuff like that. But one time... One time a fan ran onto the field, like they were, and he was a Nottingham Forest supporter.
Yeah.
And they were all like running around, they invaded the pitch, and Clough came out of the dugout, and the guy was coming up to him, like saying, he clipped him, he hit him a dig in the back of the head. It's, if you look it up, it's fantastic. He was a huge, huge character, and his son has taken on. He's had loads of different managing jobs, and like, it's very hard to emulate your dad, like, in that sense. But it's just a little tidbit. He comes from good stock there, manager, and Brian Clough. If anyone's out there, you should look into his history. He won a load of championships, and he's really, really good. And he won the European Cup as well as a manager in the 80s.
Yeah.
And he brought on, who is Martin O'Neill. And he was the Ireland manager and a load of other good players as well. So,
cool.
Just good guy.
I'll be doing some research on him today.
A little bit of research will be good. A
little bit.
He'll be supporting Burton next. they're like three leagues down. It's cool. You can support them all the way.
You got to support a team in each league.
Yeah.
You have a favorite in each league.
Something we should talk about.
United winning again. 7-0. Or 7 in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, 7 in a row.
I'm reading a couple of things here. Ryan Giggs says, and I guess this matters. I don't know. Does it matter what Ryan Giggs says?
He's the best player in the history of the Premier League.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Solskjaer needs a top four to secure the United job.
Yes.
Okay, moving on.
Well, think about it. If he got to top four, he would have brought them up two places. It's only two places, really.
Yeah.
But he would have done what Mourinho wasn't going to do, it looks like. So if you extrapolate the whole season out, like, and they say they got not unbeaten, say they only lose two or three between now and the end of the season, I'd put them in the top four.
Yeah.
So if you put that through the whole season, like say they lose four or five, they're going to be top two. Yeah. He does deserve the job. I'd say.
So did you, just random thought, did you see this thing about Neymar?
I did. Hilarious. Okay. Hilarious.
You know that
I find him petulant and don't really like him anyway, to be honest.
I don't know anybody. I think he's brilliant. His skill, right?
Yeah, he's got skill.
He's got skill? Wait, he's better than that.
Well,
no?
He's got skill, but is he worth the headache?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying he's very skilled.
Rank them in order of how good they are.
Harry?
I'm just going to throw out the three names.
Okay.
And this is just a random order. You guys then put them in order.
All right.
Neymar, Ronaldo, and Messi. So go top to bottom. Who's the best number one?
Yeah, Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar.
Yeah.
Messi.
Okay.
Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar.
Okay, well, that's what you
maybe at the moment, Ronaldo might be creeping up on Messi, but Messi's done it all.
Right.
And did it all and carried people on his back. But he used to get kicked. Every day, every week, he'd get kicked day in, day out.
And he never complained.
I don't think he's really been sent off once.
Yeah.
Ronaldo gets sent off quite a lot. Petulant. If you look at the like petulance of it.
The petulance
Neymar, Ronaldo, Messi.
Right.
Yeah, and Neymar has fantastic skill. He just doesn't have the right attitude.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a money grabber.
100%.
Like, he was at...
He was at Barca,
and because he wasn't top dog, because Messi was top dog, he moved for the money. I got no problem moving for money, but he moved to Paris Saint-Germain.
Right. He's not top dog there either.
He's not top dog. Mbappe's there, and he's being petulant about it again. he's a crybaby. You've seen it in the World Cup.
Yep.
He falls whenever anyone lays a finger on him, and then he wants special protection from the referees.
The best memes are crying Neymar.
Yeah. Well, if someone showboats just to make a fool out of you on the field, you're going to get kicked.
You mightn't
get kicked by the guy who's your showboat against, but someone else is going to go in there and absolutely clatter you.
Yes.
And
so what happened now? They came out, somebody said something about Neymar, right?
Well, it was on, who said it? I can't remember who said it, but it was basically, if you're showboating, you're going to get kicked. But he walked off the pitch and he was crying like in tears. And I don't know, like, it's still a sport. And I'm not going to say, it's still a man sport or whatever, but you don't cry on a field.
Yeah, it was one of the Strasbourg players.
There's no crying in football.
Hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was failed three times in a few minutes. Now, I know you got to protect him and all, but he did a rainbow flick. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, he kind of just flicked it and it.
No, it's where you put the ball in between your legs.
I've seen you do it in our office.
Yeah, and then you flick basically it. You flick it up and it comes over your head and then over the head of the other player.
Right. So he did that.
He did that, which is like amazing skill. But obviously the Strasbourg player just came in and cracked the one, you know, and he deserved it for it, you know.
Showboat.
He broke a toe.
Showboat.
But you do got to protect the good players. Don't get me wrong.
I know.
But he kind of deserves it a little bit.
So. Okay. Before we get to a break, tragic news. It really is, I don't like to use the word unbelievable too often. It really is kind of unbelievable. Like you can't believe this happened. Emiliano Sala on his way to Cardiff City for his first training session as he joins his new team.
Yeah, he was a record signing for Cardiff City, trying to help them stay up this year.
Yeah.
He's Argentinian, young guy. He joined from Nantes, where he's having a good season, for a club record $17 million. And he was flying in for his first training session of the season.
From Nantes to
Cardiff. Nantes is north. Yeah, it's France, but it's like northwest France, kind of.
Yeah.
It's not very
close. So very close.
Probably would have been an hour flight, maybe.
Hour and a half, whatever.
So he gets on a small, private, single-engine plane.
Yeah.
With just the pilot.
Just the pilot,
and goes down. The plane goes down in the English Channel.
Yeah.
And now they're on their third day of searching, and they're about to call the search off.
Search and rescue,
just horrible.
I think it was at 2,500 feet or something like that was the last time they were actually seen on radar. And that was at the Channel Islands at a place called Guernsey.
Yeah.
So they're not, if you know anything about the geography of the area, they're not too far away from land on the French side, the Channel Islands, which have airfields or air... Mm-hmm.
Strips,
and then you got then obviously you have Dover and you have the coast of England there as well. So, and the fact that they can't find anything, it just perplexes me.
Really
it
weird.
Must have like, I know this is horrible. It must have broken up in midair, and then just and that's you. There's
they have a. I just listened. We just listened to an audio of his phone call from the plane. Making reference to it feels like the plane's breaking up, and then he asks his friends, how are you all doing? And then he says something about, if you don't hear from me, and then he says, Dad, I'm scared. And that's...
Are they all different voicemails? Different calls?
No, it's one call.
All right. That's, so he's just...
I think that's what it looked like to me.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe not, but it's just horrible. Just really tragic and... Kind of unbelievable.
Two lives gone, yeah.
Yep.
Two lives gone.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll speak with Jeff Birding, our buddy. Well, I have to be more reverent when I speak of him. I can't say our buddy.
The GM of...
The president and GM of FC Cincinnati.
Our pal.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds our a little good more friend. Fancy.
And ex-GM of the Bengals as well.
Yeah, well, wait, we're trying to get tickets to the opening game, so...
He's a buddy.
No, that's not.
He's a heavy hitter.
No, we have to be much more reverential if we're trying to get something from him. What's the matter with you? Jeff Birding will join us, and we'll talk about there's a ton of stuff going with FC Cincinnati as we get ready for our first MLS game on March the 17th against those
Portland
Timbers idiots from Portland.
Should be a good game. Imagine they got a win in the first game. Well, it's very possible against like the second best team in the league. Fantastic.
Yeah. But new roster, new stadium, new training facility. We'll talk to Jeff Birding when we get back. Collie, Mickey, and Laura, and that's the order it should be in on EPL 1300 on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.92.5. Welcome back, EPL 1300. And yes, this is a chant we will be hearing in Cincinnati, in MLS, before long. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
And it's going to start on, I think, March 19th or
March
something.
March 17th.
17th against Portland. And Colley and Mickey and I are coming. Mm-hmm. Jeff Birding, the president and general manager of FC Cincinnati, joins us now, as he has done in the past, and it's great to have him with us. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on your show today.
No, we're always very happy to talk to you about this team and this city and these fans. And it started out with, okay, we're going to get an MLS team. Well, now you got one, and we talked for a minute before we started. You're pretty busy up there. A lot going on.
Well, we're trying to finalize the last few pieces of our first roster. We're nearing 20,000 season tickets. Obviously, a lot of new sponsorship deals. We're building a new training facility, state-of-the-art, $30 million training facility. We've broken ground on our new $250 million, 26,000-seat stadium. So, yes, our front office staff has gone from 6 to 66 over 3 years. So there's a lot of moving pieces for sure, but as I said, we're blessed. We're very blessed to have this opportunity. It's a great thing for our region.
Nice relaxing time.
Yeah, I'm just tired listening to you. Yeah. Jeff, obviously there's a lot of work being done, but you guys are very, very active in the transfer market at the moment. And last week we actually talked about how you kind of, not cleared house, but there wasn't space on the roster for a lot of the players who helped you out through the USL seasons over the last couple of years. But I see that Caleb Stanko is set to join you guys, or is that already gone through?
Yes. Yeah, Caleb came through yesterday, was finalized. We got the transfer papers from Freiburg, and the league approved it. Caleb was obviously an American player who's had a good career in Germany, played in the Bundesliga, wanted to come home. Wants an opportunity to get back in with the U.S. men's national team rotation, and knows that he has to come over here to Major League Soccer and knock it out of the park to give himself that opportunity. He has some Midwest roots, and our new project here in Cincinnati was very enticing to him.
Great. Isn't that fantastic when you get players coming back for the chance to get on the American team? You know, it used to be the other way around, that they had to go away to get on the American team. Yeah. But here they can be in front of people day in, day out. And then you also acquired Nick Hagelund from Toronto as well?
Yes, we traded for Nick last night. He's a Cincinnati kid, grew up here in Westchester, just north of downtown. He obviously had a great career, was a top draft pick at Xavier University, and has had a great career in Toronto, won an MLS Cup, and the opportunity to play in front of his family in his hometown was too good for him to pass up.
Quickly, Jeff, when Colley mentioned it, but there have been quite a few people have asked us, and I'm glad you're here to kind of explain it, about all the roster moves and some of the guys that helped you get to where FC Cincinnati is now. I know this was a tough time. Maybe you could explain why the roster is shaking out the way it is.
Well, sure. We had an all-star team of in the USL, really some of the best players in the league. We had a record-setting performance, more points than anyone had ever achieved. I think the second-place team was closer to 11th than they were to first. So we felt like a lot of our players had built the club, had earned an opportunity for most of them to get back into MLS, where they had been, and then just didn't pan out early in their career. We wanted to give them an opportunity to earn their place back in. We felt that they had done that through their performance in the USL. We were starting out from scratch, a 24 to 30 player roster was quite a challenge. So the opportunity to bring a handful of guys up, the guys that are familiar with our culture, familiar with the community, our club history, that helps build strong culture. We've had good culture, and this was giving these guys the opportunity was a key part of that.
Fantastic. And you guys had obviously a number of picks in the super draft. Frankie Amaya coming in at the number one overall. Does considering where you guys are, and it's the number one pick, he's extremely young at the moment, but that's obviously looking into the future. Do you expect him to play major percentage of the games this year, or do you think it's just hold on to him and work him in as the year progresses?
I think it's probably a little too early to tell. We obviously just started our preseason.
Yeah.
I think that we have a development plan for Frankie. We're not counting on him. Let me be clear. We're not counting on him to make a contribution this year. He's a 19-year-old. He stars for the American U-20s. He's going to the World Cup. And we're going to see how he does. But I think we have our eyes wide open that his future is enormously bright, and we're going to help him develop and maximize his talents. He's ambitious about his career, and we're excited where it can go.
Speaking with Jeff Birding, the president and general manager of FC Cincinnati, I want to, in the middle of all this talk about the actual team, you're something I don't think we've talked about with you before is how important it is. It's the reason you're doing all this. You're a Cincinnati native, right?
I am. I one of 10 kids, grew up on the west side of town, and played baseball, basketball, football, soccer as a kid. I was a goalkeeper. And for me, this is just about making my hometown a better, more exciting place to live and helping us grow the region and promote our region in the global sport of soccer. And for me, I grew up on the Big Red Machine.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids are growing up on the English Premier League and the Bundesliga, and I want them to grow up on the team that's right. You know, I want them to have their hometown team just like I did with the Big Red Machine, and that was one of the reasons we wanted to bring Nick Hagelin back, is not only is he an extraordinarily talented center back who will help us, but he also offers as a role model for kids that they can grow up and play for their hometown team.
How fantastic.
Yeah. Having that local tie-in is brilliant.
Yeah.
It really
and
gets people to relate to the club.
It's made Cincinnati embrace them like only a handful of other cities in the country have embraced their soccer club. It's fantastic to see happen up there.
So thank you. But we were blessed. It's really taken the city by storm. To have 25,700 a game last year in Division II, only three MLS teams were bigger, at Atlanta, Seattle, and Toronto. And we're nearing 20,000 season tickets right now.
Hmm.
So we're confident that this year's attendance could get up into the 28,000 plus range. And, you know, that'll be an enormous environment for our fans, and it'll be good for the growth of our league.
Mm-hmm. From a financial side, I know that you are making new partnerships, First Financial Bank, et cetera. And then obviously you've said that you're nearing 20,000 season tickets already, which is absolutely fantastic and amazing. I'm sure that you guys are secure with the MLS backing. So how excited are you just to get into the season and get things rolling? Like, you must be like nearly like a kid in the candy store here getting stuff going. Like, this is a dream nearly coming to fruition.
It is. When we launched the team, I had just left the Cincinnati Bengals after nearly 20 years. And you know, one of the great things about Cincinnati, and people in Lexington can appreciate this, is we have professional sports teams up here. And, you know, we get a lot of folks from Lexington come up to see the Bengals, come up to see the Reds. And our goal was always to bring Major League Soccer to Cincinnati. We knew we had to prove our worth, audition, if you will, in the USL. And so the fact that after 3 years of hard work, here we are, and we have that stadium under construction, the training facility under construction, which will rival Atlanta's. I've been to Atlanta's three different times, Sporting Kansas City. Those were the role models for facilities, LAFC. So to finally have these things under construction and, you know, to have a roster of, you know, some big-time players with MLS rings and Audi and Greg Garza, you know, some players from overseas who have been very successful. If you think of Leo Bertoni,
mm-hmm.
was weeks before we signed him playing in the Champions League against Juventus. So it's been a lot of fun. It's certainly a lot of work, but as I said, we're very blessed, and we just show up for work every day because we're trying to create something bigger than ourselves and leave a legacy for this region.
Well, obviously you've done that, and you're going to continue to do that, and we're so grateful you take time. You know, we're the only soccer show anywhere around here, and it's English Premier League, but we've been lucky enough to be on the FC Cincinnati train for a long time now.
You have. You've been great.
With great people like Lindsey Patterson and you and everybody connected with it. And the thought that it's MLS now and this very shortly we're going to be able to follow along on this journey is just fantastic. So thanks a million for taking time out of your day. And I'm sure we'll talk to you soon. As a matter of fact, I know
you're going to have to come up for that game on the 17th. We hope that a lot of folks from Lexington will come up. For my son's youth soccer career, I know there's a lot of great clubs in the Lexington region, a lot of great youth soccer, and we hope that some of those clubs will adopt us and come up and be a part of a great professional, exciting professional soccer environment.
Well, once you have the training facility, you must earmark it down as a kind of feeding area for people to come in and do academy work, et cetera, like that. Is that
we
in
are.
Your plan?
We will start our academy this summer. It's underway now, but the first games will be played this summer. And there's no question that we'd love to get some of the ambitious, talented kids from the greater Lexington area to come up. And we're going to be down there watching games, watching players and teams. And and certainly Lexington's an important part of our area, just like it is for the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, well, the UK men's soccer team are ranked. What are they?
They were second or third.
Second in the NCAA.
I was at the game in the quarterfinals where they lost to Maryland.
All right, okay.
So they had a great team this year, a lot of great players. And, again, we're just going to continue to build the partnership now that we're in Major League Soccer.
Well, we're going to be a part of this pipeline.
Yeah, 100%.
So we're excited.
And I feel we have established a nice rapport with you, so I'm going to tell you the reason we really wanted John today.
Oh, well.
We wanted an invite to the executive box for Oakland. I'm just going to be 100%
honest
with you.
You work with Liz Summers. Liz will get you guys scheduled, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks so much. Jeff.
We'll
best
talk
of luck.
To you soon.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. All the best.
Bye. Jeff Birding, President and General Manager of FC Cincinnati. I'm so excited.
It's huge.
He gets you pumped up. I wonder if he's put the gloves on and gotten in goal. They're training now up there already.
Yeah. They started preseason yesterday or the day before, I think.
You think he's gotten in, put on the gloves, gotten
in goal?
I don't
know. He said he was a goalkeeper, but, you know, I'm not getting in front of those guys.
I don't envy preseason. Like, just two things about preseason. Normally in other leagues, like in Europe and all, it's on the summer. So it's warm, but you go like on a little, it's nice, you go swimming, you do all this. You're not running doing laps in the snow and like extra physical work.
Swimming in the Ohio River.
Yeah, well, when they have the new training facility, they'll have indoor places and stuff, but at the moment I don't think they do. Unless the Bengals give them a land at their facilities, they might be
using something at the university as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially since Jeff was with the Bengals for so long.
Yeah, I'm sure there's
We're coming over to the indoor facility, peeps. Open the doors. Let's go.
We're the number one team in this town.
That's right.
Well, they're the only winning
team. Cincinnati's a football city.
Oh, boy. Oh.
At the moment, they're the only
winning. No, I know. No, I'm with you. Believe me. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Colleen, Mickey, and Lauro, that was fun. And Sean, nice way to work it in at the end. And he just hung up and he went, I knew that's why they called.
Yeah, yeah. I was a good little cheeky one, I suppose. We'll go up to it. I'll be hanging, but we'll go up to it.
Yeah, oh yeah, we will.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back. EPL 1300 on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5 FM. Thanks to Jeff Birding for that.
Good man.
I'm psyched. I'm really, truly.
Me too.
Very excited about pro sports in this area like I haven't been for a while.
Yeah. Yep.
The only problem is that I got to travel up to Cincinnati with you guys. Other than that, it was fantastic.
You know, it's only an hour. Hour 10.
And no, wait a minute.
I get into the west side. It'd be up about an hour 20.
No, we can go on our own.
Wait
no
a minute.
Separate cars.
You don't have to travel with us.
Fine. That's fine. That'll sort it out.
I'm calling Jeff when we get through.
Right on.
I'm good. I'm going to talk to him about it.
I guess I'll give you his number.
I have his number.
Okay.
Wise guy. Both of you wise guys. All right. We are recording this show earlier today.
Yeah.
And there is a huge Carabao Cup match coming up.
Will it be over? Yeah, it'll be over. But I'm sure that either Chelsea or Spurs are happy that they're in the final. That's the final of the Carabao Cup. Spurs were 1-0 up from the first leg on aggregate. and they're away to Chelsea. So I think really if they score an away goal, if they score one goal at Stamford Bridge, they're true. Well, because that would mean Chelsea have to score three.
Yeah, we'll see. But they have no players. So, you know, we'll see.
Maybe they'll actually play Jansen at striker in the...
Ooh, they have Eriksen.
They won't because he just played yesterday in the whatever match they were in yesterday. They had some other competition going. They played Athletic.
This what?
Yeah.
Speaking about getting your players back as well.
Winner gets Man City, though.
Earlier this morning, the quarterfinals of the Asia Cup happened, and Vietnam lost 1-0 to Japan. And actually, China and Iran's on now, as we speak.
Where are we with Korea? Where is Song?
I'm getting to tomorrow. That. Yeah. So, okay. South Korea play Qatar tomorrow at 8 a.m. And the United Arab Emirates take on Australia at 11 a.m. as well. So there's full, their quarterfinals, pretty big. It's full soccer on for everybody, anyone wants to watch it. Barcelona got knocked out of the Copa del Rey on, what was that, Tuesday night by Sevilla, 2-0 they lost, which is good. I like to see the smaller teams winning the cup competitions. Makes it more interesting.
Absolutely.
But tomorrow.
Yes.
So a fantastic game. And Sean just alluded to it earlier on.
Now we're talking Bristol, about the FA Cup.
FA Cup weekend. Okay. It's an FA Cup weekend. Fourth round. Bristol City take on Bolton at 2:45.
Yeah.
But. At 2:55, Arsenal host Manchester United. Always a good tie in the FA Cup. Yeah. Always.
And I'm going to make a prediction. Man U streak ends tomorrow.
Ooh.
At Arsenal.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's my prediction.
The year that Manchester United won the treble in 1999, David Beckham, Ryan Giggs, Schmeichel, whoever else.
Pretty good team. Yeah.
Fantastic team. They played Arsenal in the semi-final.
Very good.
And Roy Keane got sent off in the 70th minute. I can't remember who scored the Arsenal goal, but David Beckham scored a fantastic goal from outside the box. And it was 1-1, went into extra time. Now, United have been playing with 10 men from about the 55th minute.
Yeah.
And in the last 2 minutes of extra time, so they played 90 minutes, then they played 15 minutes of extra time or overtime.
Overtime.
And then they played another 5 minutes. And Ryan Giggs picked the ball up inside his own half, about four players down the left wing, came back inside, cut inside Martin Keown, Lee Dixon, turned him inside out, was on the edge of the box, and pumped the ball with his left foot into the roof of the net over David Seaman. Absolute best goal I've ever seen in my life. And United went on. Fans invaded the pitch. Fans invaded everywhere. It was absolutely fantastic. They carried them off on their shoulders out through the tunnel. 1999 Arsenal Manchester United FA Cup. Great game.
Just watching Villa Park. You talk about this and your memory of this.
It was on in Villa Park. It was absolutely brilliant, brilliant game. And that's why I'm excited about this game tomorrow. It's always a good game, Arsenal Man United in the FA Cup.
Okay, so cool.
Get to wherever you're going to watch that. It's on at
ESPN Plus at 2:40 or 2:55, excuse me.
ESPN Plus, 2:55. Get the app. Get in there.
I'll be watching.
Given away by Vieira. Possession needlessly surrendered by Arsenal. Giggs happy to just get the ball down the other end of the pitch, but can he do any more than that? Still Giggs goes, he's through, he scored! Ryan Giggs, is that the goal that's won it for Manchester United? The 10 men have withstood the pressure, they've saved the penalty, and now Manchester United are within moments of reaching the FA Cup final. And that is as good a goal as you can wish to see. It's been an improbable game and an improbable twist in the tail. Manchester United have barely had a shot since they went down to 10 men. Vieira giving the ball away, and little did he know then just how costly it would be. Giggs at his mercurial best. Keown left scrambling. Seaman sprawling. And the finish, absolutely brilliant. United holding off the penalties now. Can they hold on for a place in the final? This goal is worthy of winning the FA Cup itself. Absolutely magnificent.
Not only did I describe it, I described it nearly word for word.
And
that's, I haven't seen that in years.
The only thing you didn't say was the Mercurial Griggs. You actually did
Mercurial,
it better.
He was a Mercurial in 1999, and he didn't finish playing until like 2013. So.
He was basically 1 vs. 6.
Yeah.
It was pretty
And
much,
I forgot that Schmeichel great. Saved a penalty from Dennis Bergkamp as well. That I didn't mention
but
that.
But you're better than the guy that called that game.
No, I'm
telling
not.
You. Oh, yeah, he is.
Nah. He's good, but no.
All right, anyway.
FA Cup, there's no point in going through them all. We'll just pick out a couple of big ones that are... EPL, Man City host Burnley, EPL.
Yeah.
Newcastle host Watford, and then
the big one, Wolverhampton at Shrewsbury Town.
That's huge.
That's a huge match.
Huge.
You got Brighton and West Brom. That's a pretty
and then
big match.
Then Spurs have a quick turnaround because they got Crystal Palace on Sunday,
right.
And Chelsea also hosts Sheffield Wednesday on Sunday.
Wait, Wednesday on Sunday?
Okay.
Funny man, huh?
And then Monday, oh man, I'm gonna watch this one. Brentford is at Barnet.
Yeah, and also US host Panama
in the FA Cup.
In the FA Cup, yeah.
How'd they get in there?
Wait a minute. okay.
Yeah. The US host Panama in the men's national team. So, and that's on at 8 a.m.
I
don't know where it's on.
Interesting.
Which one? The U.S. Panama?
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know either. It's either Fox Sports or maybe on ESPN.
No, I meant actually where it's being played. If it's being played at 8 a.m.
That's a good question.
8 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
5 a.m. Maybe it's in L.A.
To our L.A. listeners.
No, 8 p.m. It's 0100. It's 1 o'clock British time.
0100.
Minus 5 hours, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Ah, that's right. PM. So it's here.
It's here.
That's the BBC. Yeah. Screw me up.
Yeah. At 0-1 and 13, they get confusing.
All right. Well, this is a chock full show.
There's still more to talk about, and we just don't have enough time. Yeah, we're going to have to petition for a second show, I think, when MLS comes along.
Oh, baby.
The Matthew Lawrence Show, MLS.
Next week starts midweek Premier League games. Tuesday, Wednesday games, I think.
By the way, MSL would be my initials, my true initials. Not MLS, MSL.
Matthew So Lawrence?
Matthew Showbiz. Showbiz is his middle name.
Matthew So
is my middle name.
Showbiz is
exactly
my
right. All right.
Fantastic show.
We'll be back.
And on that note, we're not going to get any better.
We'll be back on Thursday. Thursday next. Colleen, Mickey, and Laura, thanks for listening. It's EPL 1300 on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.